Can just anybody be a witness for Jesus? Or should we leave it for the professionals to do? Hello, and welcome to Good Word, a program dedicated to exploring biblical themes. This week, our discussion focuses on personal evangelism and witnessing. My name is Paul Dibdall, and joining me this week are Patty McCoy, chaplain at Walla Walla University. And Patty, you have a master's in youth ministry. And then we're also joined by Dr. Alex Bryan, senior pastor at the Walla Walla University Church. Gentlemen, welcome to both of you. Thank you for being here. So we do live in a society that's becoming increasingly specialized. And I am curious about personal evangelism. Can just anybody be a witness? Should we leave it to the professionals? Some combination of those two factors. How would you respond to that question?
Well, I think it's good to have the professionals, first of all. I think we need to have those that are trained to preach the gospel and to communicate things in a unique way. That's important. Now, having said that, we live in a specialized society because we have diverse populations. We have all kinds of different personality types and interests and experiences. And so to say that a man or a woman might be curious about becoming a Christian is to say that there is a particular man or a woman with a unique set of interests and a unique set of problems and questions. And so that would suggest that perhaps there is a unique man or a woman who's a Christian out there, maybe even in your congregation or mine, who would be best equipped to help facilitate that person's journey of inquiry as they explore Jesus.
And that person that is best equipped may not be a professional, quote-unquote professional.
Right. Yeah.
Isn't it a danger when Paul talks in Corinthians to the Corinthian church about spiritual gifts that, you know, I think we've all heard as pastors, we've all heard that almost a rationalization of why somebody can't do evangelism or witnessing is, well, it's not my gift.
Uh-huh.
It's somebody else's gift. And so we'll let those that are actually gifted with it do that. And suddenly then I'm no longer responsible for sharing the good news with somebody because it's not my gift.
Yeah. And when we say not my gift, when we think of somebody with the gift of evangelism, what type of person probably comes into our minds?
It's a good question. I think of Alex Bryan at the pulpit on Saturday. Well, I think a lot of are quick to picture the person that's in the suit that can be in front of the mic that can, you know, pound the Bible and reference all the right, you know, scripture texts and say all the right things in all the right moments. You know, and we lose the idea of what it means to be a personal evangelist and witness.
Isn't it important though to know the texts? I'm thinking of what the adult Sabbath school lesson that we're basically tracking with our discussions this quarter suggests to us that people who are going to be witnesses for Christ ought to be living a consistent life. Where their words match their deeds. And the lesson also emphasizes the need for a strong spiritual life. So it basically sounds like before you go out to witness, you need to be living right and you need to know your stuff pretty well. Is that – how do the two of you relate to that? Is that an encouraging sort of thing? How important is it? Would you agree with what the lesson suggests?
You know, I kind of go back to the parenting thing. When I talk with young couples and do premarital counseling, when we talk about children, there's this idea of, well, we're going to wait to have children until we're 100% ready. And of course, you know, it's hard not, you hold back the laughter because the thought is, well, when are you ever 100% ready for how having children will change your life? And I think that though it's important to know the story of Jesus and certainly to know how to share your story with others, I think the danger is that the idea that we have to be 100% ready for every question, for every possibility and situation that'll come our way before we can share the love of Jesus with somebody.
Yeah.
And of course, we have great encouraging examples in the scriptures like Levi, who Jesus calls him, and the next thing you know, he's turned around and invited all of his crazy friends and said, hey, let's have a meal with Jesus. So the gospel record doesn't seem to suggest that people waited for a long period of time before they started inviting their friends into an encounter with Jesus. I find that encouraging because, yes, we should study. Yes, we should be as prepared as we can be. Yes, we should try to live a life that reflects the values that we claim to hold. But the reality is the most consistent thing about us is that we're inconsistent. And I would imagine that a lot of evangelism does not happen because we somehow feel that we are not qualified to do the job.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that honestly, in the midst of the great controversy, I think it's a tool the devil can use to keep us from sharing the good news. Is this idea that we're not good enough? We're not ready. Somebody else can do it. Mm-hmm. When we're all called, and I love Jesus's in Matthew 28 on the commission, that here Jesus had been raised from the dead. He had, he had shown himself to his disciples. He had spent time with them, and then here they are on the mountain. And it says in Matthew 28:16, the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed him. Them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And then it goes on to say, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Jesus doesn't say anything about the fact that some doubted in that moment.
Yeah.
He just tells them to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's crucial.
I teach a class on campus here that's supposed to help prepare students who will be going out as missionaries for a year. And one thing I've said many times to students who are talking with me about this very issue, it's like, I don't know, I'd like to go. I kind of feel a calling to go, but, and then they'll give the reasons why they really aren't equipped. They've got questions, or that maybe not everything in their life is quite the way it ought to be. And the thing I've said to them, and you can tell me if I should keep saying this or not, maybe I'm wrong on this, but I've said to them, I would be more concerned about you if you were a person who was so totally confident that you were ready, you had all your answers, and you were right there spiritually, so strong spiritually. I would be more concerned about sending you out to talk to others if you had that kind of, sort of an overweening confidence. Mm-hmm. So I think that hesitancy, that sense of our own sinfulness, our own lack, our own inconsistency is actually an indication that we may be quite well equipped to listen to the Spirit as the Spirit guides us in our witnessing. Is that was that the right thing for me to say?
Paul,
say?
Paul, not only would I affirm what you're telling your students, I think that a confession of personal weakness often can be a very appealing statement when you're trying to reach someone for Jesus. If I say to a friend of mine who is searching for God, I'm flawed, I'm broken, but yet I'm still trying to follow, that immediately opens up the possibility for them. Hey, wait, I'm broken. I'm messed up. I don't have it all together. So I think that I think not only is it telling the truth, I think that it's actually opening up the possibility for someone because you're saying, I'm no perfect saint myself.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's a good point because when you get asked a question of something that maybe you don't know, to be able to say, instead of trying to come up with an answer that may sound
that
a little...
you don't really know.
Yeah, you're not really sure, but you're trying to piece something together, that the better response would be, I don't know, but let me spend some time with that. Let me spend a little, and it's authentic, it's genuine, and I think it does the same thing that Alex is talking about. It helps somebody, it breaks the barriers down. And I heard a story recently of a woman that had been going to this particular church and was approached one day and was said, well, she didn't think she was going to come back to this church. And when asked why, the response was, well, because everybody here has it together and I don't.
Yeah.
You know, and you know that's not the case. You know that everybody, I often will say to students that even the best dressed people still have holes in their socks. You know, that there's this, we all have our flaws, and it's just some of us are better at covering them up than others.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think by being genuine and honest and sharing what your struggles are, what you don't, not sure that you know, builds a bridge.
Yeah. Yeah. Wonderful. Wonderful. I wonder, when we talk about personal evangelism and witnessing, we often are emphasizing reaching out to outsiders somehow. As we approach the end of our discussion for today, can we just reflect for a few moments on witnessing in the home or somehow witnessing maybe to close relatives? There are challenges with that, as well as opportunities. Anything, any wisdom that either of you might be able to share with our listeners who may be dealing with that, wives maybe with husbands who are not open, husbands with wives, maybe parents with children, and so forth. Any counsel?
I certainly think the consistency factor plays well, especially with family. You know, you can be out saying one thing in public to the masses, but your family sees who you are behind closed doors. You know, and realizing that you need to be a part of blessing your own home as much as you are blessing anyone else is important. Mm-hmm. and crucial in that process. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing. Aside from that, at least from my experience, I pray a lot.
Yeah.
Because there are plenty of things within my own family, siblings, what have you, that I'm not enough, or maybe, yeah, you know, somebody else needs, God needs to send someone in their path.
Yeah.
And I pray for those kinds of things a lot.
Yeah. Those that we love the most, sometimes it's, for some reason, it can be especially challenging to try to reach out to them in a way that they'll be able to receive it, that they'll be able to listen to what we have to share with them. May God help us, not just as we reach out to those far away, but even those within our own family. Thank you, Alex and Patty, for your willingness to share with us today. I'd like to also thank Chad Ofterhauer, our program engineer. And finally, thank you for listening in. I hope that you'll join us again next week. And I should also let you know that contact information, as well as free printed companion materials, are available online. Simply go to the Walla Walla University website and follow the links to the School of Theology and then Good Word. For Good Word, I'm Paul Dibdahl.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.